understand what's going on. Verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. So there are times that the tongue speaker may receive an interpretation, and he should pray for that interpretation. It says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you're praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. So it's simply saying that if you do receive a tongue, pray for an interpretation. Pray that the Lord would give you something, you know, that you could be able to share with someone else. Verse 18 talks about Paul's practice. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul spoke in tongues a lot, and I believe privately. And he's saying here that if you speak in 5 words that people understand, that's 5 times better than speaking 10,000 words in a tongue in the church. Because again, no one can understand what you're saying. By the way, backing up, interesting, that whole statement about, you know, I pray with my spirit, I pray with my mind. And he said, you know, both are okay. To pray in this in your spirit, there's that kind of mystery to it. There's that statement in Romans 8, I don't believe it's tongues, okay, some people do, but it says that we come to the Lord and there's that groaning, okay, I don't think we're really the one groaning, it says it's really the Holy Spirit on our behalf, but there's that sense in which we don't even have the words and we just say, oh God, you know what this person needs, and there's maybe you're not even praying words, but your heart's connecting with the Lord, it's praying with your spirit, it's that emotional connection with God, which is a good thing. But not only, he said, pray with your mind. Pray intelligently. Pray, you know, specifics. Both those things are important. Whether you're a tongue speaker or not, pray with your spirit, you pray with your mind. Verse 20, it says, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? So tongues is a poor example to unbelievers. I think it's a poor example to believers that have no clue what's being said. That's what Paul's saying here. It's a poor example. I remember as a kid, I was invited over to spend the night at a friend's house. We went to his church the next day. I don't know how old I was, 11, 10, I don't, 12, I don't know. But I mean, this church just scared me to death. And people were falling over and everybody was speaking in tongues. I'd never seen anything like that. I mean, if I wasn't grounded with some kind of a foundation, who knows what, that would have just set me off. All right? I mean, they were disobeying everything that Paul's teaching here. Freaked me out. Remember another time in college, and we went to visit our relatives' cousins in Phoenix, Arizona. They didn't know the Lord, and we were always burdened for them. And I'd heard that one of my cousins was dating a pastor's daughter. I'm like, oh, that's a good start, you know. So we went with he and his daughter to the church service. Oh my goodness. This group invented the name Holy Rollers, okay? And I mean, it just was, again, and I'm not saying God never works in this. I mean, God's an amazing God, can work in just about anything. But I mean, this was a freak show, with all due respect. And you know what? It was a laughing stock to my cousin and the pastor's daughter. I thought, that is so sad to miss the point. Because people come in, they don't get it. They don't understand, what is this? Even if there's some legitimacy to it, it's totally out of control. No one can understand. You guys, you've gone mad. So Christianity gets written off because of the abuses. Verse 24, it says, but if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he's a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. He says, when you speak in English, so people can understand, then there's a chance for the Holy Spirit to take that and bring conviction to someone's heart. to bring conviction and faith to somebody. That's what prophecy can do. Verse 26, what then shall we say?